This Word Christian Center takes ordination very serious, and one of the reasons why we take it serious is because we know the seriousness of what it means to serve in the capacity of an ordained minister. Now, we have a lot of church history that has come on us over the years that has brought a lot of disrespect for the church. Matter of fact, there's many people now that speak against dignitaries that God has placed in the church. And mainly, it's not just the people, but it's the leadership that has brought that reproof against leadership. And so we have this church history. But here at By His Word Christian Center, we still do it honor because we don't select people that are weird or strange. And we're actually ordaining people that are worthy of the call. And in spite of the reflection that the church has given over the years, that doesn't mean that we need to be products of it just because they have a wrong testimony or witness. Amen? And so, I'm really excited about ordaining those that I'm ordaining. Not only is it a biblical principle, but they've earned the right for this ordination. A lot of people seem to think that they're not being ordained because we're respecter of people. And that's not true at all. I ordain people because their example before me in ministry was what impressed me the most. And I know that we've been in some tremendous positions as a church over the years, but some of the witness and testimony of these people were ordaining how they've come back through gossip and everything and stood behind me and made their stand and made their position to go on with God and not just me. You know, it's one thing about David that made him such a great man in God. That's why David was opted the testimony or the witness by God's own mouth that he was a man after his own heart. One thing about David, if you've noticed above everything else, David respected God's anointed. He respected God's authority, even when God's anointed or authority went into perversion. And we know that was Saul. You see, Saul was correct before God first for a term or a season. But eventually what had happened is Saul became full of envy and strife and division. And as a result of it, he began to attack the very person that David himself was committed to preserve. And so we find that in Scripture very clearly, that David was very clear before God. David probably wondered, God, why did you have something to do with this guy to begin with? You know what I mean? But he never expressed that. He always wanted to make sure not only did God know, but Saul knew that he had respect for his position. Why? Because David knew above everybody else that when God puts his hand on ministers, David knew when God's hand is on a minister, you don't touch that minister until God's hand is taken off of it. Are you following me? So David had that awesome respect about him. That's why a lot of people want ministry today. They want to be ordained, but they don't go about it properly. They don't go about it as a heart before God. They want to go about ministry as an example before men rather than before God. I know one of the issues of to complete my calling, and Sue will testify to it. I had an attitude with the places that I worked. And the last place that I worked, God was wanting to put me into the pastoral ministry. And God wasn't releasing me. I was frustrated. I didn't know how to answer that call. And finally, God began to move upon my heart, not only at the church I was presently in and serving. I had the wrong attitude there. I thought it was okay to speak against the leadership there. And so God, over about a year and a half, began to move upon my lips and my mouth and my heart. You know what I mean? And not only was it towards my church that God began to change my attitude and my mouth, it was also the people I worked with. And I would have never even thought that God would care about some old uncircumcised sinner, so to speak. But boy, I'll tell you what, God had to get me right with my shop manager where I was working at in the world, you know, because I worked for sign companies, outdoor advertising, and I had this glorified name, not sign painter, I had this glorified name, commercial artist for outdoor advertising. Praise God. Who wants to be a sign painter, you know? They were known as winos, so I took on this new title, you know, commercial artist for outdoor advertising. What'd you do? I was a commercial artist. All while for outdoor advertising. In parentheses, sign painter. But when God was trying to move me into ministry, He began to deal with me in a way of purging. And in this purging process, how many of you have ever experienced being purged of the Lord? Boy, it's not a good feeling. It's just not a good feeling. And one of the things that makes us think that we have such a good position with God is the fact that we love God and they don't. So therefore, if they don't come into our arena and treat us properly, we have a right to put up walls with them. And so that's what had happened. I began to put up walls with some of them. And one of the things was the rock music that they were listening to across the bay from me. And I'd get so hot at that music, I'd run over and I'd turn the radio down. And I'd walk back over and I'd turn my tapes up, you know. And I'd be preaching back to them and, you know, bring them under conviction, you know. They're ungodly music, you know. Listening to that, boy, if they hear this message, it'll get right in their heart. And finally, one day, my manager walks by and he turns my tape down and he turns their radio up. I got hot. And I went over there and I turned their radio down. I went back and turned my tape up. And so I just laid in wait for little Lloyd Fauntleroy to... Lloyd. I waited. I was going to nail him. I had that tape recorder right on that post right across from them ungodly sinners. And that preaching was going. And, oh, I want you to know, you know. And I'm sitting there and I'm so excited, you know, that they're going to come under conviction. And they were all over there just rolling their eyes and their head. And then they go over and they turn their music up. And we had this war going on. And finally, I get into their... Because, see, one of the things I believed God for in every place I worked, that I would preach to every one of them what it means to be saved. I would preach to everyone. And that's the faith. And I never had that opportunity, and so I'd confess that. God, before I leave this place of employment, I'm going to be able to testify and witness to every one of them about salvation. Well, little did I know that my preaching was not with what I would say out of my mouth, but the example I was living before them. And actions do speak louder than words, and the Bible does teach that. It's in the book of James. But anyway, I was convinced that we could go on at war with each other, and yet I would still have the opportunity to preach to them. Well, I didn't. Little did I know I was preaching to them already. But it wasn't in words. So I sat down in this room, and I always read my Bible at breaks. We had 2 15-minute breaks besides lunch. And finally, this one—he was actually the supervisor or manager over the fabrication department where the sheet metal and all that was. And he leaned back in his chair, and he says, "You know something?" He says, "I don't understand you, Jan. And this place is packed; everyone's in there." And he leans back in his chair and he says, "I don't understand you. Why do you constantly read that Bible?" He says, "Every time I look at you, you're reading that Bible." And I says, yeah, because I love it. Well, he says, that's obvious. He says, but what makes you think you're any better Christian than we are? When I was born, I got a certificate of Christianity when I got born. They gave it to me on the Indian reservation because he was an Indian. And he says, what makes me any different than a blank, blank Christian like you? And he says, I'm going to tell you something. Before you answer that, he says, I want you to tell me what it means to be saved. I got the ear of everybody in there. And you know what? I was not going to attack him and tell him he wasn't. But when I got through laying out what it meant to be saved, you could have heard a pin drop in there. And so I got up and walked out. And sure enough, this one young man followed me. And he started quoting the book of Revelation. He wasn't even saved. And he says, is the Antichrist here? And am I going to go to hell? And all that. And so, by gosh, I did lead him to the Lord. But you know something? God was not releasing me to ministry, and I couldn't figure out why. And he said, I want you to do certain things that you're not doing in your church. I want you to change your attitude. I want you to start getting faithful. He says, you're a Sunday morning attender. And he says, I want you Sunday evening. I want you there Wednesday. That bothered me. He says, I want you involved in your church more fluently. And he says, and number two, I want you to get things right with your place of employment here. He says, when they turn their rock and roll up, he says, you turn your radio off. Is there anybody else up there? And so finally, little Lloyd kept walking by as he's going out the back door like he usually does, and he stops. And he's looking, and I'm just pretending like I don't even see him. And he's looking at the post for my tape recorder while I removed it. And finally he says, hey, where's your tape recorder? And I started to grin, and I says, well, I took it down. Well, why? I says, in respect to you, Lloyd, the Lord spoke to me and told me not to get into a war about this thing, but to obey you and do what you... I wanted to just smack him right in the face. And boy, those words were grating at me, but I said, and the more I let it out of my mouth, the more I began to have a love for this guy. It was weird, you know? And so, he finally walks by one day and he says, get your tape recorder out. You can listen to your tapes. And I said, no, like, because they don't like to hear. He says, I don't care what they like to hear. You get that tape out and you can listen to what you want. And that, you know what? I never did, even though he gave me permission to do that. You know, I quit going against them. And finally, there was one of the sheet metal workers, Joe, and I led him back into fellowship with the Lord because his wife was attending a church that was just horrible. And they ended up getting divorced. But I led Joe back into fellowship with the Lord. He started attending our church. He now attends church. He's going full time for God, and he is the one that listened to that rock and roll music. I led him to, and Lloyd, oh praise God, I ran into him at Chuck E. Cheese's over here when he was putting the signs up when they first started. And I had the habit of saying, little Lloyd Fauntleroy, and I had to watch it, you know. And so this time I said, Lloyd! And Lloyd was happy to see me, and we hugged him. He says, how's that church of yours doing? I said, doing great, Lloyd. And I just, and it just dawned on me, we're friends now, you know. I didn't see him get saved at that time, but we were friends. And you know something? Before I drove off that parking lot, he looked at me and says, you know, if all Christians are like you, he says, I'm impressed. You know, you win friends when you do right by them. Amen. I had to watch my attitude with Lloyd. Sue can tell you how I'd come home and I was just mad at that little 5'2" guy who thought he was 6'8" and get up, pride about him. But you know something? I saw humility begin to work in his heart towards me. Praise God. Because I learned to love and respect him for where he was at. Amen. And you know, God worked that integrity into my heart. How to respect authority that I was so loose with. Not only in the church I was at, but also in the place of employment. You know, as I look back over the years that I've been with these people that I'm going to begin to ordain today, I can truthfully say with every one of them, that I love and respect them because they love and respect not only the ministry, but the care of my heart. John was a little frustrated because he worked all weekend on this ordination, and he began to show some tears in his eyes. And he said, well, Pastor, he says, more than anything, I want your heart. I want your heart. I want to do something that you want. I don't want to do something that you don't want. I want to do what you want. And I says, John, when that comes out of your mouth, you got my heart. Amen. And you know, anybody else would have looked at it as someone who was fighting and struggling with me. But I know John's heart, and that's not where he's coming. He wants things done right. And he wants to make sure that the things that are done right are done according to what's in my heart. He says, if it's not in your heart, Pastor, we don't need to do it. I like that. Amen. And see, a man like that has got an anointing on his life. He's anointed as a teacher in the body of Christ, even though he has the pastoral care of administration. But he'll go a long way with the kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's why we as the head, you know, the head dog, head shed dog, you know, or whatever you might call it. That's why our example before them is so important. If we make mistakes, admit to it. And we do make mistakes. But the example we always have to have is for them, you know. And their examples have certainly been credit worthy with me and Sue. You know, in the last, well, Sue, what, the last 8 years, 7 years, haven't you and I really felt a peace in our home? I meant as far as not having that weird feeling that there was conflict in our leadership. Somehow, people that don't work with authority well don't last very long. You know, they don't last very long. You know, one thing about people desiring ministry and desiring recognition for ministry, one of the things that they need to be careful of is what comes out of their mouth, because it always gets back to the head shed dog. The Apostle Paul, it got back to him. He heard it when they said that, well, his letters are weighty, but his bodily presence in his speech is weak and contemptible. He heard it. You know, and so sometimes if you desire to be ordained, you desire credibility in the body of Christ, make sure you have to qualify before Him before you qualify before me. Because if you don't qualify before me, it's very obvious you haven't qualified with Him. It goes hand in hand. Amen. And so this morning, we're doing this biblical principle right now. It says elders are chosen by the ministry gifts. We certainly have some wonderful ministry gifts serving this body right now. In Acts 14:23, Paul and Barnabas ordained elders in every city. Over in Titus chapter 1, verse 5, Titus ordained elders in the city of Crete. Well, actually, that was a charge given to him by Paul. I thought it was very interesting. When Paul visited the island of Crete, he saw many Christians there. But they had no local church established. And they had no discipline. And so the Christians were not living any different than the unbeliever. And so they didn't have any leadership. They didn't have any vision on the island. And so right away, Paul picks in his mind, I know he did right away, he picks Titus to come on to the island of Crete. For what? to ordain elders and to establish a work there. And the history of Titus on the island of Crete is so beautiful. See, Titus was one of these ministers that was kind of like... He had this attitude kind of like John Guinan. If you've ever run across John Guinan, he might be here today. John Guinan, well, his appearance is real gruff, but he has a big heart. And Titus was one of these kind of guys, shut up, sit down, and pay attention. But he had a lot of love. And so he picked Titus because the island of Crete, when you hear about the history of that island, that was a wild bunch of people. I mean, they were undisciplined. And everything else. They didn't know how to respect authority or anything. And so he picked Titus because Titus was his troubleshooter. And he went in there and he established a good work and a foundation. And one of the things that Paul commissioned Titus to do was ordain elders for the churches. And the church that he was establishing. Well, according to church history, Titus, he'd left Crete, the island of Crete, for a while and went back and died there at the age of 93. Highly respected and loved by the believers on the island. Had a big funeral service for him, sending home. They loved him. And so he established a good work. Praise God. And so this morning what we're doing is we're ordaining these elders. Now they don't have a ministry of their own, but they're serving me. And that's the best way to be ordained as an elder, through the testimony or witness of how they serve you. What a great privilege. And so at this time, what I'd like is I'd like those that are being ordained to come up and stand in a line and kind of face me. And after we ordain you, we're going to set you into pastoral care over this body. According to the function, we have a little clip we want to show you. And hallelujah. And then after this, I'm going to give you a charge to fulfill, now that once you're ordained in, the responsibilities you have, not only before me, but before this body, if you're going to be successful. And your ordination here is only a year. After that, you have to go through a review, and you need to maintain your status. And so, one of the things that they said is after they prayed, there was even some fasting, which I had to accomplish on your behalf. You owe me a meal, you guys. With fasting and prayer, it says, then you ordain the elders. And so I did do that. And so I'm excited. And so that's what it's all about here today. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you so much for each one of them that are up here to be ordained as elders in this body. Each one has a known function that qualifies them for this ordination. And so today, as we ordain them, which is separate from setting them into the pastoral care, but this ordination is where these men and women are going to be given back to this body. And not only this body, but also the universal body of Christ, to serve that body as servants of the Most High. Father, you said he that is greatest among them has to submit to the position of the servant, a love slave for the kingdom of God. And so, Father, that's what these men and women represent, is to be love slaves for you, to serve those that serve this ministry. Those that they're asked to head over is not because they're the head sheds. It's because those that they're over are the head people in the body of Christ serving this ministry. And they are there to serve them for the sake of serving this ministry. Hallelujah. So, Father, as I anoint John Shear now, I anoint him in reverence and respect of the Holy Ghost. Oh, man, there's the presence of the Holy Ghost. Right there. And if you guys go out under the power, it's okay. Hallelujah. And Father, I thank you so much now for John Shear. May your life and your testimony be mighty upon him. May you work in his heart as never before in the love of God. Hallelujah. Tammy, I ordain you into the kingdom of God. And I thank you so much for earning this right in this position. And so, Father, use Tammy mightily. Father, may her this oil be symbolic of the anointing that will operate through her to serve the work of the ministry, not only here, but even, Father, abroad, if necessary, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And, Father, I thank you so much for Kenny Witko, and I thank you for the anointing that's on his life already, and I just come into confirmation of that anointing. I ordain him also as a leader in the body of Christ. I give him back to the body of Christ, not only this body, the universal body, to love and serve it with everything that is within him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, I just anoint Tad McKinley, who has served this body faithfully in the area of being the board of directors and teacher. Father, I ordain him and set him back into the ministry to serve these people and even the universal body and whatever is needed for him to serve in the capacity that he's called to serve. This is a serious thing, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I want all the elders up here. I want you all up here, and I want you to lay hands on them. Because it says that when you're ordaining people, all elders need to lay hands on them. So come behind them and lay hands on them. Each one find one and lay hands on them. Praise God. That's what this is all about. Those of you that want pictures taken, it's okay if you move around. It's all right. Father, I thank you so much for these four people right here. And Father, we have anointed and laid hands on them. Me and my wife are in total agreement. And this board that represents this church is in agreement with this ordination. Father, I therefore place the responsibility back on their shoulders before God of what you're now doing in their life as we as elders of this body lay hands on them. It's up to them now to fulfill what God has recognized in them from this day forward. And may they serve it with a zealousness of you, Father, and not a complacency, but a zealousness that does faithfulness to their life in Jesus' name. I now declare you as ordained before the Lord. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. Praise God. Really felt the anointing here. Okay, hey Tammy, they've got something here from the choir. Praise God. Kenny? Mrs. Tammy Haywood. Tad. Here you go, Tad. Praise God. Okay, now I have a message, a charge to give you. So if you will, go take your seats and we'll do that. Oh, no, before we do that, what I want to do is I want to place, I guess, Kenny and Tammy, I want to place you into the pastoral care. And before we do that, where's Lonnie? Isn't Lonnie here? Lonnie, you got to come up here, too. Come on up here, because we're going to pray over in a minute. Ted, where's Teddy? There he is. Teddy. Praise God. In just a few minutes, what we're going to do is we're going to place them into a pastoral position that deals directly with the function in this body. And the reason we don't have Tad McKinney, because Tad McKinney serves as a Bible teacher in our Bible school. He's not over a particular people. So, okay, at this point, John, you want to just show the overhead, turn the overhead on, so that the people will understand what we're doing here. Okay, now if you can get it up a little bit to where they can see it. Now, I don't have my little laser gun to point on there, but you notice that down on that bottom, well, kind of centrally located, is where we've got the different types of ministers that are over certain categories of people. How many can see that? And so we've got up there Pastor Ted and Autumn, Pastor Ken Kenny Witko, and we've got Pastor Lonnie Summers. And over here, we got Pastor Tammy Haywood. We don't have Carol with us here this morning, but there's Tammy Haywood. And so what we want to do in this portion of the service, now that we've ordained them as functioning elders in the body with specific titles on their life, now what we want to do is call them into the pastoral care over all those people that are under them. And you'll see the names listed under them. And they're to serve those that are under them in the full capacity that is necessary so that the ones listed under them accomplish their task. For an example, Kenny Witko. One thing that Kenny is to serve is TV and audio, which is Dennis Case is a part of that. So also the, is it the children's department up there? No, local outreach. That's our missions department. You know, he serves in that. And so he acts as kind of like a pastoral shepherd in a way. And so he's been put as the head to serve all these different areas here. Serve these. He that is greatest among you is servant of all. And so people don't realize that the further up on the ladder you get, the more you're apt to serve. Amen. And to serve all these ones that are listed under him, they need these ministers' care. And it takes a responsibility off me to do more of what I've got to do in this body, and that is to focus in on prayer and fasting and getting some major issues accomplished. And right now I'm into writing our books, and I've got one and a half completed already. And so it really excites me that the church is going in this direction. And we got to give John Shearer a hand for this. He's the one that helped set that up for me. Praise God. And so, and I might add that every one of them that are in these key positions, they weren't even looking for it. They just automatically fell into it. Hallelujah. Okay. At this point, I'm going to have you guys come up here again, because I want to, and this, all the other elders don't need to come up here because this is just for pastoral care. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to, yes, you are going to turn around. Okay, so turn around. Yes. You're going to, yeah, full 380. About 360, 380. Oh, is it 180? Oh, that's right. He'd be back on me, wouldn't he? Yeah. Maybe we ought to do, no, turn around. Yes. How come you're not up here? You got to come up here too. No. Okay. I'm going to pray over these, and I'm going to place them in the pastoral position over the body of Christ. They still have anointing oil on their foreheads. So that's good. We'll rub the anointing into you guys later. Father, I thank you so much as these precious men and women are facing the body that they're given back to in pastoral care. Father, may the people respect this anointing. May they respect the anointing that is being placed on them to be servants over these wonderful people that serve under them. And Father, I thank you that I now have a tool in the hands of those that are under them. I have a tool now to use to serve them with, and that's each one of these. Father, this is not so much a promotion, but a demotion for the sake of those that are under them. And Father, if they would get that revelation. So Father, I lay hands on them now, and I commit that pastoral care into their life on these precious people. So may the anointing of God now be placed upon you. I place that mantle on you according to the necessity of this church by His Word Christian Center. And boy, I love and respect it. I feel it. I feel it. I feel it. Praise God. So ladies and gentlemen, I'm facing you now. Those are administered into the pastoral care. Praise God. Hey, before you sit down, is Donna here? Where is she? Come up here, sweetheart. Come up here. I thought this would be a real appropriate time. You know, the women just come out of the women's room. Come on up here, Donna. Come here, sweetheart. Hallelujah. And reason I'm having her up here before they sit down is I want her to lay hands on them and also pray over them, because she has come up in the authority of my dear friend Dave. I mean, we're like brothers. And she has served him so well, so she knows how important it is for these people to be installed into a care that governs churches. You notice that when they're not brought in properly, how things go wacko. And praise God, we got the wacko out of these, so we can... You want to make sure? So what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to go by and lay hands on them also. And the reason I want you to do this, Donna, because you already have that anointing of what it means to submit to authority and how important it is. And I want you to join my faith with my wife's faith concerning them. So go right by and you lay hands on them as well. Thanks. Praise God. You just have that liberty and that freedom. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory. Glory. Whew, man, I feel the anointing already. Hallelujah. 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 Orokoshenda. The Jesus waltz. Those that don't go down. Yes.
Ted, get up here. You got to get a hold of some of this too. Hallelujah. He serves in the Bible school as a teacher. You lay hands on him too, darn. Hallelujah. Ora casa forese. Hokor. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Donna. Oh, praise God. Thank you, sweetheart. Take your money that fell out. She came up here and all this money started falling out of her. I said, glory to God, she's the one. She's got a lot of riches. Praise God. Well, thank you. Now I have a real quick charge I want to give to every one of you here. Matter of fact, pull this right over in front of them. They're going to join in. It's not going to be a lengthy thing. Gee, Pastor, I thought you already preached. Well, I do have a charge that I want to give to you. One thing about the Queen of Sheba when she had come to check out Solomon and to find out what he was all about. One of the things that she had noticed about Solomon was his ability. Lost my note. Oh, here they are. Was her ability to notice how he carried and conducted things and how things were in order and even to the point where Solomon was dedicated to go up into the temple daily and seek the face of God. And that so impressed her, and that's what caused her then to be more committed to the God of Solomon. Hallelujah. And so, today I want to share some attributes to those of you here that have been now ordained and committed into the pastoral care. I want to look at the attributes of what makes ministers successful. And I try to follow these principles as much as I can. And so if you have pencil paper, you want to mark them down, fine. If you want, I'll see to it you get a copy of the notes. Would you like me to do that so you can just listen? Okay, I'll do it. Number one, successful ministers avoid misconceptions. You know, if you want a ministry to be faithful, then you have to have people that don't fall headlong into misconceptions. What do I mean by that? Well, someday, if we just hang in there, God will come through and we will succeed. I'm going to tell you, when you look at formulas and you look at ways where you're searching for divine connections, name dropping or whatever it is, your ministry, you as a minister will not succeed in the ministry. Eventually, you'll fail because of these key things that you've got to avoid. Another thing, there's no such thing as a pie in the sky attitude. That is not going to make you successful. What's going to make you successful is to be faithful at what God has presently put in your hands to do before these people and before the Lord. That present tense is where your success is likened unto. It's not some magic formula that will cause your ministry to flourish. It is not people making recognition of what you're doing that's not going to make you succeed in ministry. It's what you do before God that counts above anything else. Because men can only see you one way, but God sees you both ways. Praise God. And so, those who develop in the area of success in ministry, it's because the bottom line is that they know that they must acquire the specific plan of God for their life in ministry and dwell in obedience to that, not looking for some formula or some means to succeed. And I've seen churches today, ministers in churches today do that very thing, and today they've shipwrecked because they're looking for some magic touch, some magic formula. Listen, it's faithfulness to the ministry that will cause you to succeed. Faithfulness to that ministry. And another thing is, I want to share with you, listen, if you develop a defeated attitude and make excuses for the lack of your success, you've already lost before you got started. People do not determine your success. Don't look for excuses. If you're not succeeding, let it go back on your shoulders. You know how I am. Well, I don't look to the body as being the problem. I don't look at some other ministry or divine connection, some magic form. Remember, I said it always falls back on the shoulders of numero uno, number one. And so God has to speak to my heart what to do to make the necessary changes to succeed at what God's called me to do. And that's what we've been through this last year. Amen? And it's not making excuses. Another attribute is your fellowship with God. It's one thing for us to have a relationship with God, but it all starts in fellowshipping with the Lord. The fellowship is developed through prayer and worship. You must enjoy fellowship with your Heavenly Father, because fellowship is sometimes referred to as two fellows in one ship. That's a two-way communication, conversation. And I've seen so many men, I'm witnessing today, so many pastors. I'm a regional director, and I just left a pastoral convention where I had to speak at it. And sure enough, I found every one of those pastors not fellowshipping with the Lord. And you see, you've got to fellowship with the Lord on a consistent basis. That's where you're going to draw your strength. You can't serve the Lord out of mechanics. You've got to serve Him out of an issue of a heart that is created between both of you as you pray and talk with the Lord daily. Amen? Or else, what good does it do for you to have ministry when you're running it, not God? God wants this two-way street, so to speak, in fellowship. He wants to make sure that He can reveal the mysteries of His plan to your heart because you're fellowshipping with Him. Amen? Now listen, ministers that succeed, they have a vibrant fellowship with God. They are people of prayer. And success begins with knowing God. You see, a lot of pastors out there, a lot of ministers out there, but they don't know God. You see, you got to have a fellowship with God. It's one thing to know about somebody, but it's another thing to fellowship with that person. It's one thing to be born of God, you know, have the Spirit anew, but it's another thing to develop the bonding process which fellowship brings. You've got to bond to God more than ever. Amen? Another attribute of successful ministers is they abide in obedience. They abide in obedience. They abide in obedience. Now listen, here's what obedience is. Obedience is the act or state of being submissive to the restraint or command of authority. You want me to say that again? Obedience is the act or state of being submissive to the restraint or command of authority. All successful ministers have been willing and obedient to God's restraints or commands, no matter the cost. That was King David. No matter the cost, he submitted to authority. There are people that do not submit to authority well because they don't get the vision for it. So obedience is restrictive. Obedience brings suffering. Obedience also brings great rewards. Giving a life of obedience means that we will submit to all authority, governments, laws, parents, spiritual leaders, employers, policemen, etc. We've got the Word of God on it. That's part of the mind renewal. So obedience, you have to live a life of obedience towards God. Another attribute is you must learn to live by faith. I don't care what people say about the faith message. They can knock it all they want. But in simplicity, the word faith literally should be translated trust. You need to learn to trust God. You don't trust God by what people say. You don't trust God by what people get in their results. You trust God by what God speaks to your heart and what you believe in that trust. Amen? You can knock it off. But if any one of you ever come against the message of faith, and the Bible's full of it, then you're doing a disservice for what God has placed you in, and you will suffer the consequences, because that's the only way you're to live, is by faith or trust in God. I don't care how they quote it. I don't care what examples we've had. We've always had, in the Bible, it's loaded with great men of God who had a love for God's Word that was given to them. They might not have had the Bible, but they had a Word from God. They were a lover of that Word, and they stayed true to it. Amen? And they were successful. They didn't knock, well, God, I was taught that I shouldn't live by that faith, you know, or whatever it is. No, forget that. If God speaks to your heart through the Word of God, or speaks to you by a divine vision or dream or whatever, you adhere to that revelation, you stick to it, so you'll fulfill your ministry. Amen? Faith is how you receive what you need from God, your authority on the earth. On the earth. You exert your authority on the earth. Amen? I'm just about through. Faith is a victory that overcomes the world.
Great spiritual leaders have always been people of great faith, always faced unsurmountable odds. Amen. Now, the world has hated them for it, but thanks God it was the world. Amen. Here's another attribute, your ability to maintain vision. Without vision, there is nothing for your faith to grab a hold of and make it a reality. You have to be able to maintain vision. And one of the things that made you so successful in this body is your ability to maintain vision. You maintain vision. For one thing that a pastor can say, if my leaders have vision for my ministry, they know how to maintain vision so that when God gives you your ministry, you'll be able to maintain it also. Because the real proof is maintaining vision of another man's ministry. And some people never get a hold of that. They don't know what it means that successful people always looks at obstacles as simply opportunities to conquer. Well, I got news, if it's your own ministry, that's a done deal for me. I have to look at all obstacles as opportunities to succeed. But when you, as head leaders under me, you have to maintain vision because of the obstacles that I face with, and then you maintain faithfulness in that, you're really learning how to grow. Praise God. You're learning how to grow. Successful ministries must possess courage. Victorious ministries possess confidence and courage. They know who they are in Christ Jesus. They know who they are in Christ Jesus. They know what they are called to do, and God has equipped them for that task, and they do not allow obstacles or failures to discourage them. Amen. Never allow disappointments, setbacks, or failures to slow you down or to stop you. You know, that's so easy to get into that trap because not everything's perfect, whether it's in ministry or whether it's outside of ministry. Nothing's perfect. You don't have perfect pastors. You don't have perfect ministry. You don't have perfect friends. If you haven't figured that out by now, get a life. Call Planet Earth, and then you'll find it. Praise God. So you have to know how to possess courage in spite of all discouragement. Never allow disappointments to come into your life. Never allow it. Listen, if God chose you, then you have no right to doubt the call. If God chose you, then you're into sin when you doubt and you get into disappointment and unbelief and you become faithless. I mean, who said ministry was easy? It ain't. Another attribute of successful people is they strive for excellence. To be excellent means to be superior, very good, of its kind, first class, virtuous, outstanding, prominent. And it means that you live and conduct your ministry in the way that is above the norm. It influences others to excel and achieve their God-ordained destiny. Ministers and ministries that are truly successful are always striving for excellence. And I'm not talking about excellence in what kind of clothes you wear. I'm not talking about excellence in what kind of pews you sit on. I'm talking about the excellence of the heart. Are you following me? The heart of a minister is more important than anything else. Without your heart providing the necessary ingredients to make you men and women of integrity, then what good does it do to serve? God entrusts responsibility to us based upon our personal ability to handle it. Never consider yourself as to apprehend it, but always shooting for it. Always look at yourself as needing to improve. I do all the time. I have you guys as a witness of it. Another thing that successful ministers learn, they learn that it's important to build a team. A successful leader realizes they cannot accomplish their vision by themselves. They have to have others linked with them in order to do it. Good leaders recognize the vast diversity in the body of Christ and appreciates what each has to offer. That is something that you've got to realize. Everyone that is co-laboring with us has something to offer, even if you wish they didn't offer anything and disappear. But each one has something to offer. And of course, another one is to walk in integrity, a firm adherence to a code of moral values, incorruptible. We must be incorruptible. We are to walk uprightly before each other, to be honest. Amen. Spiritual leaders
are to give no grounds for accusation, but must be above reproach. There are three attributes that I want to give you. Number one, honesty. You must be men and women of honesty. Number two, you must have loyalty. You must be loyal. And number three, you have to be disciplined. You must discipline your life. You must be a disciplined individual. They do not betray their followers or those God has placed over them. They are honest, they are loyal, and they are disciplined. Amen? And one of the last attributes, which is probably the most important one to me, you have to love people. You have to love people. If you do not love, you really do not know God. Because 1 John 4:8 says, if you can't love, it's because you don't know God. When you fellowship with God, love will grow in your heart. Another thing about love always gives. It always serves. Successful ministers are givers. They know how to give along with their loving people. They know how to give. Love is not selfish or jealous. Successful ministers are concerned about promoting the interests and welfare of others before themselves. That was definitely, obvious in the Apostle Paul's writing. He was more concerned about the abilities of others than himself. You, those of you here, you know my testimony. When God started dealing with me to get back into fellowship with Him in prayer, one of the things that He brought me to is how the Apostle Paul prayed for the churches. And there was one incident where Paul said that he travailed night and day and poured his tears out for the Corinthian church. And he said that in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, which is a chapter they talked about one minister that he had to turn over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh that his soul might be saved. Paul didn't give credit to himself as being the one that brought that man back into fellowship or wanted back into the church who wanted incest with his family. But he didn't bring that issue up. Are you following what I'm saying? But one thing that Paul did is he gave his attention to the church. You know, he prayed that guy back into fellowship. You know, you don't need to be, a rocket scientist to figure that out. And one of the things that Paul showed me about that prayer, he said, when was the last time you ever lost tears and fell on your face for anyone in your church? God, why are you always picking on me? I'm such a wonderful person. But I'll tell you what, there's another side to your spirit. That if you don't know how to worship God, there's another side to your spirit you'll never partake of. And that's how to be moved with compassion to love and serve people. And it's there. And I was saying, God, I just don't have those feelings like that. Well, why don't I have? He says, you just keep fellowshipping with me and you just keep worshiping me and you'll run into what that'll do in your spirit. And one day, man, I just began to really weep and really cry for my people. It just puts another side on you. And something I got to say, one thing about Bias Word Christian Center. We might not be great in number, but I tell you, the lights in this body are very bright. There's a lot of love that all of you show. I've heard testimony after testimony. And you can get into large churches, and you know what you're going to run into? Unless they're paying attention, you'll run into cliques. You'll run into people with no sincerity for you. They want position. They want gain. They want certain things in the body. When you get into a body where everybody just loves you, there's no cliques like that. They're just loving on you. Then you know that you're in the right place, conducive for spiritual growth. Because love is a very key thing in the body of Christ. And you know how love is obtained? Here's how love is obtained. It says that faith worketh by love. That's why John the Beloved said that whatever's born of God overcomes the world. And he's talking about what's birthed in your heart. What is birthed in your heart is the victory you'll have to overcome the world. And that's why love can work by faith, because faith is an issue that's birthed in your heart through the Word of God. Amen. And so I just wanted to give you that charge. And I'll give you these notes. But love believes the best of everybody and it hopes, and its hopes are fadeless. They do not develop a cynical attitude about people, but they're positive. Amen? Boy, that opportunity is always there. Why? Because you just have strange people, the body of Christ. But we have to learn how to love them anyway. Amen? What good does it do when you love those that can love you? It's the ones that you love that you can never get a return on. That's what counts. Big challenge, but you can do it. Father, as we close this service now that we've turned these people over to this body, Father, may the body take care of them very well. May they see to it that their needs are always met. May they see to it that they're supportive of every one of them. And Father, we thank you for these wonderful ministers. Everybody stand up. Hallelujah. Father, as we now close this service, we want to just say we thank you so much for this body. We thank you for the people that are called to it. We thank you so much for the body of Christ that is here. Father, I thank you for the ordination service. I thank you for the setting in of the pastoral care over this body. And Father, I pray that the eyes of your people in this body will get the revelation of what we presented today. Get the vision of this revelation and run with it and serve with a fervency. And Father, you said as they serve with a fervency full of the Holy Ghost and power, they qualify themselves. Hallelujah, Father. It's you that exalt us, not us. We can't exalt ourselves. Only you can exalt. And Father, we know that you exalt. You give favor to those that have learned to give themselves to you. Father, even those that was not ordained today, those that have a desire for ministry, may they see the vision of how to come about it and do it properly. And may they have integrity of heart and support those that are in leadership as never before.